Hi guys, my name's Yasmin. I'm one of the lead pastors here at Centerset Church, brand new church plant in Silicon Valley. Hey, we're excited to meet you. If you're in the area, come check us out on Sundays, 11 a.m. at the Hotel Valencia in Santana Row.
Good morning, good morning. Who's excited to be at church today? My name is Ali. I'm the lead pastor. I need some audience participation this morning. Who loves food? Raise your hands. Some of you think I'm skinny and you're like, there's no way you love food. Listen, I have a spiritual gift where I eat food and Laker fans get fat. Come on now. But seriously, I love food. Even though I don't look like it, I love food. How many of you love Chick-fil-A? Raise your hands. Come on. Can I just be honest? It's average fried chicken. But you know what makes it amazing? What makes amazing the food is the Chick-fil-A sauce. And there's actually something that's not even on the menu. It's the honey barbecue sauce. You go to their website, you go on their menu, they don't even have it. You have to ask for this secret sauce. Here's what I know about secret sauce. It makes average food amazing. It makes the experience unforgettable. How many of you have never been to La Victoria? Okay, you need to leave right after church. Jesus commands you that you need to be filled with His Spirit to go eat this morning. La Victoria is just one step above Taco Bell. Come on. I have an affinity for Taco Bell. It's Taco Bay for me. But this is like low-quality food that tastes amazing. Listen, because of the hot sauce. They have this hot sauce that it's chorizo oil and mayonnaise. Listen, your heart is telling your tongue stop, and your tongue is saying, there's a party up here. You can handle this. It's amazing. That's what special sauce does. It takes average food and makes it memorable. How many of you love In-N-Out? If you don't love In-N-Out, we're going to have to institute some church discipline on you this morning. Listen, they even have a sauce that's called special sauce. It's good on the hamburger, it's good on the french fries, and when my wife isn't looking, it's good on my fingers. Listen, here's the thing I've learned. Average food becomes great with great special sauce. Can I tell you a secret about this church? Pastor Yasmin and I are average. Listen, there's nothing special about us. But what makes this church great, in my opinion, is the Holy Spirit. And for the last 3 weeks, we've been talking about the person of the Holy Spirit, because there is confusion around Him. Some of you think when I talk about the Holy Spirit, we're going to take seven offerings, I'm going to come out here with a flag and wear a suit next week. Come on. That's not what the Holy Spirit's about. And even the confusion that is today here in the church, it was back then in the early church too. Read with me in Acts chapter 19. The first four books of the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, cover the birth, the life, and the ministry of Jesus. And after He dies on a cross and resurrects, 30 years later, they're having this conversation in Acts chapter 19. Just to give you some context to those of you that are new to church. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. Next, yes, thank you. There he found some disciples. Say some disciples. Sorry, I'm fumbling over my words this morning. And he asked them, these are basically believers. These are people who go to church. These are people who read their Bible. They're Christian. And he says, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And said, who dat? They said, no, we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. See, that's my experience of those people in the church. People understand who God the Father is. People understand who God the Son is. But people are confused, listen, about the Holy Spirit. And what we've tried to do these last 3 weeks is demystify, de-spookify the Holy Spirit. Listen, the Spirit of God is not something to be avoided or something to be run away from. The very first church that I went to, my pastor told me, stay away from the Holy Spirit. And what he was saying, he was well-meaning at the time, he was saying, stay away from God. And what we're trying to do is, life is impossible without the Trinity. See, some people, the Trinity is God the Son, God the Father, and the Holy Bible. And God wants you to have an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. And what we've tried to do these last 3 weeks is talk about who is the Holy Spirit. In week one of our series, we talked about the Word. What is Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost? Maybe some of you grew up in the 80s like me. I ain't afraid of no ghosts. I watched Ghostbusters growing up. I just don't know if I want a relationship with one, you know? But the word Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost, that's not even the original word. It's just a breath of fresh air. And so many Christians are paddling through Christianity. And all you need to do is put up your sails and let God, His Spirit, blow on you. And then last week, we talked about a big, scary word called Pentecost. And some of you are afraid of 50s, and we have our offering ready for you this morning that you can drop them in. Listen, we want to help you on your journey of faith. If you're afraid of 50s, you can put them in the offering bucket. We're not afraid. Let us help you. But the word is just an Old Testament holiday. It's 50 days after the Passover. And we looked at the symbolism of what this holiday meant in the Old Testament and how when Jesus told us to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost. And there was symbolism, there was power when he showed up. And today I want to talk about a word that's controversial, but we need it. It's baptism. See, some of you think when I say the word baptism, I'm talking about water. But baptism simply means to be immersed in. What Jesus wants to show you is that there is a baptism in the Holy Spirit that he wants to give you this morning. There's a journey on your spiritual walk. And it doesn't just end the moment that you receive Christ. See, some of you, you've watched the movie Nacho Libre. How many of you watched that movie? It's one of my favorite movies of all time. I love Jack Black and that character. He's a chef at a monastery, and he's trying to raise money for this church, right? I wish we had some Lucha Libres in this church trying to raise money for us. And his wrestling partner, listen, is not a Christian. And he turns to him and goes, "How come you have not been baptized?" I'm trying to say the language. He goes, "Because I believe in science." And how many of you remember, he gets his bucket and just, pa-pa, throws the guy's face in the bucket, right? Some of you are afraid we're going to do that to you this morning. Listen, when I show you who the Holy Spirit is and what he wants to do in your life, you're going to run to him, not run from him. And no one's going to force anything on you. God is a gentleman. He's not Nacho Libre. He's not going to force baptism on you. But listen, maybe you came from my church background, where your pastor told you to stay away from him. Maybe you come from a denomination, listen, that says avoid him. Jesus wants you to have a relationship with him. Yeah. And he died to give it to you. And the first baptism that you find in the Bible is the baptism in the body of Christ. Say the body of Christ.
Body of Christ.
See, this is salvation. See, this is what Jesus did on our behalf. Listen, every time I'm preaching up here, there is another voice. It's the voice of the Holy Spirit. And his number one job, listen, is to reveal and lead you to Jesus. See, you and I, we love talking about ourselves. The Holy Spirit loves talking about someone else. He loves revealing. He loves bragging on. He loves elevating the Holy Spirit. So that when I'm talking about church, when I'm talking about the Bible, when I'm talking about a God who would send his son to die for you, the Holy Spirit's whispering in your spirit. You can trust him. He loves you. You can put your faith in him. He won't let you down. That we serve a good God, and it's the Holy Spirit who's leading you to him. And there's nothing that you can do. Listen, salvation is not going to church. It's not reading your Bible. It's not the day that you even believe in God. It's the day that you are immersed, listen, into a life-giving relationship with the personal God. I came out of Islam, where you go to a building and you pray 5 times a day and you don't even know God. And you hope that one day when you die that he'll let you in. Jesus wants to give you assurance that long before your death that you can get in because of what he did on the cross for you. And Christianity is not about doing anything. It's about knowing someone. Yeah. And some of you come from a Catholic background and you stop praying to Mary. You start coming to Jesus because he's the one that wants to know you. He's the one that formed you in your mother's womb. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows every pain, every hurt that you've ever experienced. And he still loves you enough to want a relationship with you. Yeah. Christianity is not about coming to this ugly building at Santana Row. I love this place. But listen, you don't even need to come to church to have a relationship with God. He wants to dwell within you. And listen, when you accept Christ, the Holy Spirit is baptizing you in the body. Read this verse with me. For we were all, what's that word?
Baptized
by one Spirit into one body. That word means to be immersed. Who's doing this? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one leading you, guiding you, revealing Jesus to you. The Bible says that no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And this is the first step in your spiritual journey, placing your faith and your trust in Jesus. And you did nothing to achieve it. All you got to do is receive it by faith. And it's a free gift. This is why it's called good news, that God would send his son to die for us. And the early disciples, listen, they received this baptism when Jesus was on earth. Read this verse with me. This is a story in John chapter 20. Jesus has just died. And then for the next 40 days, he's resurrected, showing the holes in his hand, the holes in his side, and showing them. And it says, on the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked. Why are the doors locked? Because they're afraid. Jesus has just died, and they think he's gone, but he's resurrected. They're probably playing Fortnite or Call of Duty. They're probably catching up on their fantasy football team. They're doing something, right? The doors were locked for fear of the Jews. And then Jesus came and stood among them and said, listen, if someone breaks into your house without you knowing, they have to say this. Next verse. Peace be with you. Don't pee your pants. Don't be scared. Boo. Peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed. Say overjoyed. There's joy because the tomb is empty and there is news to tell. When they saw the Lord again, Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you." Next verse. "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." I just need to pause for a moment and make sure that you understand this. The moment that you receive Christ, the moment that you believe God sent his son Jesus, that he's not a prophet, that he's not a good guy, that he's God in the flesh, you receive the Holy Spirit. And at this point, even though the disciples, listen, had been walking with Jesus for 3 years, their sins had not yet been forgiven. Because they were under the old covenant, where every year you had to kill an animal to atone for your sin once a year. Now Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world forever. And he breathes on them the Holy Spirit. So they have it. And the reason why I tell you this, this same account is in all four Gospels. But just like if there was a car accident outside and all of us were eyewitnesses, we would see different things. Each gospel shows you something different. And I need you to see this. Read this with me in Luke chapter 24. "And while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, 'Peace be with you.'" Same scene, just different eyewitness. "I'm going to send you what my Father," next verse, "I'm going to send you," next verse, "I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Listen, he's already breathed over them the Holy Spirit. What is he talking about, this future tense, about "I'm going to send you something else"? And it's different than receiving the Holy Spirit because he wants to clothe us with power. And then Jesus even clarifies this experience even further in the book of Acts. Read with me Acts chapter 1, verse 3. "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised." Again, the future tense, even though he's already breathed the Holy Spirit on them, "which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water." This is our salvation experience. "But in a few days," again, the future tense, "you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit." Your very first experience is the Holy Spirit speaking to you, leading you, showing you that Jesus is God. And you are immersed, not into a book, not into a building, but into a relationship with the personal God named Jesus. And your second baptism is baptism of water. And the question is, well, why would God separate these two experiences? Because he doesn't want you thinking that you contribute anything to your salvation. Listen, there is a fight in the church today over baptism. Do you need to be baptized to go to heaven? Let me remind you, on the cross, when Jesus was standing there, there was a guy on his left and a guy on his right. The guy on the left was a hater, like a Lakers fans, hating on Jesus. And the guy on the right said, "Jesus, ignore him. But when you're in your kingdom, remember me." And Jesus turns to him and says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." That man never did one good thing. That man never even got baptized. That man's in paradise. And we're going to meet that man one day. You do nothing till you earn your salvation. Salvation is received, not achieved. And in the church, there's even a fight, listen, over the words that you say when you baptize people. Like, there's a whole group of Christians that say, you got to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And there's another group of Christians that said, No. You got to baptize in the name of Jesus. Listen, at Center said, if you get baptized, we're going to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we nacho libre you in the name of Jesus. Imagine you go to heaven, and you're like, "Jesus, I can't wait to come in." He goes, "Yeah, about that. You didn't hear this, but when you were underneath the water, they said the wrong thing. Sorry, can't let you in." Like, that's not going to happen. Your first step is receiving Christ, and it's private. You do it in your heart. That's why every week when we ask if you want to receive Christ, we ask everyone to close their eyes and bow their heads. Faith begins in private. But God wants you to take it public. Yeah. Not that it will save you, but that he wants you to not to be ashamed of him. Yeah. 27 times in the New Testament, people receive Christ and immediately they're baptized. Not after a class, not after they've earned it, not after they've even cleaned their life up. Immediately they're baptized. Read this verse with me. "Those who accepted this message were," what's that word? Baptized. See, faith begins in private, but God wants it to go public. Yeah. This is why my wife wears a wedding ring, because I want you guys to stay away, because she's mine, right? The wedding ring doesn't make her married. It's an inward decision that she's made, and she's just showing it outwardly. That's what baptism is. It's an outward expression of an inward faith. That's why we have wedding ceremonies and not just weddings, because we want people to be there to celebrate our decision. This is why we do baptisms every 2 months at CenterSet, because we want you to invite your friends, your family, and you stand in front of the church and say, I'm not ashamed that Jesus is my Lord. Baptism does not save you, but God wants your faith to go public at one point. And your spiritual journey, listen, begins when you're baptized in the body of Christ. And then the second baptism is when another believer baptizes you in water. And there is a third baptism. Not what I'm teaching you, not what your denomination is. I want the Bible to show you this third baptism. And it's this, baptism in the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit baptized you into Jesus. Now Jesus wants to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. It's a different experience. Read this verse with me in Acts. It shows all three baptisms in one story. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit does. When he fills you, you begin to tell others about him. And when they, what's that word?
Believe.
The Holy Spirit's preaching. People are believing Christ. When they believed as he preached the good news. I just need to pause for a moment. I just feel so convicted by God to explain to you the good news of Jesus. Imagine for a moment that you and I need to take a test to get into heaven. A test on a scale of 1 to 100. I got a minor in math in college, so I'm nerding out for a second. Imagine you get on a scale of 1 to 100. Let's say the most faithful, the most honest person that you and I know is Mother Teresa. She's probably getting a 95 on this test, right? I'm just going to be transparent with you. I lived a ghetto lifestyle. I was drinking alcohol like I was thirsty most of my 20s, right? I'm probably a 45 on this scale. Just being real. Some of you, you'd probably fall in between Mother Teresa and me. Let's just say for simplicity's sake, you're a 75. See, in our mind, we think that 95 is an A, 75 is a C, and 45 is an F. And that heaven is filled with good people. Listen, God only lets those who have perfection in. Wait, what did you just say? See, heaven is not filled with good people. Heaven is filled with forgiven people. And Christianity is this, that God takes my 45, and on a cross, he becomes 45. He becomes my sin. God makes him who knew no sin to become sin. Why? So that I can become the righteousness of God. Now my 45 is crossed out, and now I have 100. Now I can come boldly before God, even in my sin, because I'm fully forgiven. That's the good news, that God can forgive sinners, that a just God can let sinful people into heaven. Why? Because of what his son did. That's not just good news, that's darn good news. And when those people heard, they received it. And the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, and they were baptized, that's the second baptism. Immediately they were baptized in water. Not after they took a class, not after they cleaned their life up, not after they stopped drinking, immediately. You never qualify yourself for the cross. He qualifies you. Next verse, read this with me. When the apostles in Jerusalem, like headquarters, when they heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Let me just pause yet again. You receive the Holy Spirit when you believe. This is another experience that he wants you to receive, that the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. And Peter and John placed hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. My question for you this morning is, why would God separate these experiences? Because he doesn't want you confusing baptism with your salvation. And this baptism in the Holy Spirit really serves no earth eternal purpose. It serves an earthly purpose. He has work for you to do. And it's too big for you to do it on your own. You don't have the strength or the willpower to pull it off. You need God's power to do it. Let me show you one other verse to prove to you that this is what the Bible teaches. In 1 John 5, verse 7, it says, for there are three that bear witness. And what's that word?
Heaven.
In heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. Who is the Word? Maybe you're new to church. Maybe you're new to Christianity. You have no idea who the Word is. You know who the Father is. You know who the Holy Spirit is. But what's the Word? This author, John, wrote the Gospel of John. And the very first verse he wrote, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Well, it still doesn't explain who the Word was. A few verses later it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. See, the word is Jesus.
Yeah.
And then in verse 8, he confirms it. For there are three that bear witness on, what's that word?
Earth.
On earth. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. That's salvation, that's water baptism, that's Spirit baptism. And the best way for me to explain this is you're on a spiritual journey. And it doesn't end the moment that you receive Christ. And I just want to, the best way to explain what spirit baptism is just to tell you my own story. I didn't meet a Christian until the age of 20. And when I met them, they all drank and partied just the same way I did. I thought their faith was a joke. Just being very transparent this morning. The first authentic Christian that I met was my sister. She would travel from Oklahoma and fly to San Jose and drive 3 hours south to meet me in San Luis Obispo. To be a witness, not with words, listen, but with her life. She was different. And she was so different, I knew that not only did God exist, my sister had met her, and I wanted to know this God. But I'm Persian, I'm stubborn, some of you know this, it takes us a long time to finally accept Christ. And listen, even though I'm like the guy on Nacho Libre where I believe in science, there's a part of Christianity that speaks to your heart that science never will. That there's a Father who loves you unconditionally. That he sees every evil, every sinful thing you've ever done, and he wants a relationship with you anyways. And when I finally accepted Christ, listen, I thought Jesus wanted religion. I thought he wanted me to clean my life up. So I didn't tell anyone I was a Christian for months. I didn't know he wanted a relationship. And when I finally let him in, listen, he began to change me. Yeah. Friday nights were bars and clubs, and as soon as I received Christ, I was in Barnes and Noble. And my friends are calling me, "What are you doing?" "I'm reading a book." "You need to come read some beer, bro. Let's go." Right? And I'm going to be honest with you. Even though I love God, even though I finally, at the age of 24, met God in a personal way, I was ashamed. I was afraid. I was timid to share my faith. And I thought if I just study the Bible, then my fear will go away. And for the next 2 years, I basically studied the Word of God as if I was in seminary. And listen, the fear didn't go away. Knowledge does not remove the fear. And my sister took me to a church where they embrace the Holy Spirit. And even though my pastor told me to stay away, I didn't know what to do because she began to show me verses in the Bible. And the whole time I was just taking notes. I'm like, "I don't know if I believe you." And I go home and I read. And I started realizing there are 5 times as many verses about the Holy Spirit wanting to empower you than even the cross. I'm not saying it's more important. I'm not saying that. Everything surrounds, is central on the cross. But God wants to get your attention. He wants you to be filled with the Spirit. And I went home and I prayed this simple prayer. "God, if there's more that you have for me, I want it. But listen, behave yourself. None of that funny business, right?" I was afraid of what I had seen on TV, guys dancing like ants in their pants, like doing the jig, you know? I didn't want that. As you can imagine, nothing happened that night. Another year goes by. Even though I'm basically in seminary, I can't break my alcohol addiction. I can't say no to porn. I'm not living the life that I'm reading about in seminary. And I got so desperate for God. I said, "God, if there's more that you have for me, I want it. No strings attached. Whatever you have, I want it. I want all of that you have for me, Jesus." Wow. And that night I met, Jesus came to me and he baptized me in the Holy Spirit. Wow. And it was as like waves of love. I can't tell you what happened. It's just almost indescribable. I met God in a way I'd never had before. And as if a man, listen, stood up inside of me. And the very next day I began to tell my friends and coworkers who Jesus was. It was from that experience that I went to Mexico, Jordan, Turkey, and even in a hostile environment like Iran to share my faith. Because I wasn't afraid of death anymore. I wasn't afraid of what people thought of me. A man stood up inside of me and gave me boldness that I didn't have. I went back to that girl at the church that my sister took me and said, that thing you taught me about, I received it. She says, "Can I prophesy over you?" I said, "I don't even know what that is. I don't even know if I believe in this." She says, "You're an apostle." I said, "Did you just call me applesauce? What did you just say?" She says, "You're an apostle." This was 10 years ago. She says, "You're going to start a church for Jesus one day." I said, "That's impossible. That's never going to happen." She says, "You're going to start a church to reach unchurched people." And here I am 10 years later, walking out the very thing that he did. I don't deserve any of the honor that you want to give me. Pastor Yasmin and I are very average. We're like the La Victoria burrito. Being real, like, you just have it by itself, it's like, eh. It's the Holy Spirit that makes this place great. It's him that 58 people have accepted Christ in this church in 1 year. It's It's Him that's setting people free and saving marriages and breaking addictions. He's the secret sauce of this church. And listen, you need it too. You need to stop coming to a building on your own strength. And you need to receive all that God has for you. Because there's more. It's not just Jesus. He wants to give you the Holy Spirit with power so that you can live for Him and be His witness. Not shameful, not afraid, but with boldness. Read this verse with me. It says, do not get drunk on wine. Listen, I used to be an alcoholic. It is fun to get drunk. If it wasn't fun, we wouldn't do it, right? Everyone is seeking a spiritual experience. And what God is saying is, do not be drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. I love that God doesn't condemn us for wanting that high. He says, don't get high on wine, get high on me. He wants to give you that supernatural experience. Listen, how do you receive it? Number one, you write this down. One of the things that we say at this church, if you want to go to heaven, you got to take notes in church. Just kidding, obviously. No, I'm serious. I'm kidding. Write this down. Request the gift of the Holy Spirit. You can't receive what you don't ask for. And you can't receive someone you're avoiding. Maybe your tradition, maybe the denomination you came from, maybe your pastor told you to stay away from the Holy Spirit. Listen, Jesus wants you to receive Him. Not the prayer that I prayed where, Jesus, you can come, but I got to be in control. Say, whatever you have for me, God, no matter what it is, I need it. And because I believe in you, I want it. Yeah. Read this verse with me in Luke. If you then, though you are evil and we're evil, come on, Jesus is calling us out. Some of you are Lakers fans, we pray for you. And you know how to give good gifts to your children. Listen, when my wife's not around, I give gummy bears and ice cream to my daughter. And when she kisses me, both at the same time. How much more will your Father in heaven, listen, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? He wants to give it to you. And He's a gentleman. He will never nacho libre you into it. He'll never force this baptism on you. You have to ask for it. And the second thing you need to do is you need to receive it by faith. This is the part of God I just don't like. It's just so hard. Like, there are parts of God I understand and I'm standing on His promises, but then there are things I don't see, the unknown. And when you want to receive Jesus, it takes faith. When you want to walk in His promises, it takes faith. And listen, when you want to receive the Holy Spirit, it takes faith. And there's this verse that I love that's in the Old Testament that gives us a spiritual picture, listen, of our journey with God. In Ezekiel 47, it says, as a man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits, and then led me through water that was ankle deep. This is the salvation experience. Some of you, you're on the shore looking at everyone in the water. And like, man, those Christians are crazy. Listen, I was there too. But I pray more than just come to study Jesus that you encounter Him in this room. Because He's the one that's speaking to you. He's the one that drew you here. You're not here by accident. And some of you that have accepted Christ, listen, you stepped into the water, and this is the only step that's critical. All the other things are God will wait on you to take. You don't need them to go to heaven, but God wants you to experience the fullness of life on this planet. And it begins with walking in the water, being ankle deep, and then it continues. He measured off 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was knee deep. This is where some of you are at this church. When you went to your old church, you sat in the back of the room with your hands crossed, and the whole time during worship, you were unengaged. And now that you've been here for 2 or 3 months, now you kind of like, pop your hand up once or twice and you clap along. And the Spirit wants to set you free from being afraid. No one's looking at you. Everyone's thinking about Jesus. And then it continues. Then He measured off 1,000 feet and led me to water that was at my waist. You know what's so similar about all three of these? Whether the water's at your ankle or your knee or your waist, you're still standing. You're still in control. And this was my spiritual experience. I wanted the things of God, but I wanted to be in control. Listen, the life that God has for you is when you let go of your feet. Yeah. And I love that this church has people in all different walks of life. There are skeptics, there are atheists, there are baby believers here, and there are people, listen, that want to change the world. No matter where you are in your spiritual journey, let me tell you, there is still more that God has for you. Yeah. And then it continues, and He measured off 1,000. But it was now a river that I could not cross. This man's floating now. He's freaked out. This is where some of you are. you're afraid to receive all that the Holy Spirit has for you. He's not going to make you weird. Listen, those people that we know that are weird and talk about the Holy Spirit, they were weird before Holy Spirit. Come on, let's be real. And then the verse continues. Because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in, a river that no one could cross. There's another verse after this that talks about how in the middle of the river, it was teeming with life. And that's where God wants to take you. He wants you to experience His Son. It's where the water comes to your ankle. It's where you get immersed into the body of Christ. But there's more on your spiritual journey. He wants to take the next step. He wants to take your faith public. 58 of you have received Christ in this church. 13 of you have made it public. What's your next step? What's your next step? Some of you have been a Christian for years, and you wonder how we do it. And because you've been paddling through your Christianity on your own strength, God wants to fill you with power, with boldness to share with Him based on His strength. My question for you this morning is, do you want what He has for you? He's a good dad. If I can give my daughter ice cream and gummy bears when mom's not around, listen, but God the Father wants to give you the Holy Spirit, not for entertainment, because your faith needs it, your marriage needs it, your parenting needs it, your Christianity needs it. If I get everyone to stand up, I want to pray this verse over our church this morning. I'll get the band to play a little loud. I want to just close your eyes and bow your head. I'm going to read these verses to you and just pray over you this morning. This verse that God has for you. I pray the amazing grace of the Master Jesus that you don't have to do anything to be loved by Him. You don't have to change. He loves you just the same. And even when we mess up, even when we continually mess up, even when we weren't willing to receive Him, listen, He was willing to die for us. And I pray that you have an encounter with Him this morning, not with church, not with a book, but with a living God. His name is Jesus, and He loves you enough to die for you. And He wants to meet you. He wants to have a personal relationship with you. And I pray that you would have an encounter with the extravagant love of God. That some of you have received Christ. Your sins have been forgiven, but He has not healed your heart of the past. Maybe there's a spouse that walked out on you. Maybe your parents hurt you the way that you grew up. But God wants to heal you, take you on a journey where He heals you of your yesterday and gives you hope for your tomorrow. And ultimately, God wants to lead you into an intimate friendship with the Holy Spirit. Not so that you would come to church filled with entertainment, but that you would be filled with power to live for Him. That you could walk out your faith with boldness and with power. That you could say yes to Jesus and no to the world. That you could say no to your flesh. That every deep desire that you have within you, that you need God. Just knowing the Ten Commandments is not enough. You need the power of God to obey the Ten Commandments. That God doesn't just want His children to wander aimlessly. He didn't just leave us as orphans. He gave us the Spirit of God so that we can have a personal relationship with Him. And some of you, you've been living out Christianity on your strength, on your power. Let today be the day that you receive all that God has for you. Not just Christ, not just water baptism, but the baptism in the Holy Spirit. If I get every person to close their eyes and bow their head, if that's you this morning, if you've been coming to church and you're wondering how Christians do it, and you say, I want that baptism. I relate to Ali's story where I lived out my faith on my power, and you want that Spirit baptism, not to be weird, but to live for Jesus in a new way. If that's you, would you just lift up your open hands, palms to heaven? Every eye is closed, every head is bowed. If that's you this morning, would you just raise your hands to God and say, Jesus, I want everything that you have for me. I'm asking, Holy Spirit, Jesus, would you baptize me in the Holy Spirit? Would you baptize me, Jesus? I'm desperate for you. I want this gift that you have for me. You're not going to fall over. You're not going to act weird. But just receive the love of God this morning. Allow Him to breathe over you. Allow Him to empower you. Allow Him to tell you how much He loves you. And there are some of you this morning that just feel so led to ask, have you taken that first step? Have you put your ankles in the water yet? Have you received the baptism into the body of Christ? Have you let Jesus die for you on a cross? If that's you this morning, and you do not have a relationship with God, and you've been coming to a building, and you're tired, and you want to know Jesus, listen, He wants to know you this morning. And with every eye closed and every head bowed, if that's you, and you want a relationship, you want to walk with Him every day of your life, if that's you, would you just, no one's looking, you're not saying yes to me, you're not saying yes to this church, you're just saying yes to Him, the one who died for you, the one who loves you enough to die for you. If that's you, would you just raise your hand? No one's looking this morning. This is just between you and God. He wants a personal relationship with you this morning. Amen. Would you pray this prayer with me? Jesus, thank you that before I was willing to follow you, you were willing to die for me. You gave your life, now I want to give my life. Would you fill me, Holy Spirit? Would you come within me? Enable me to follow Jesus, to love Jesus, to be like Jesus. I want to follow you all the days of my life. And in Jesus' name, can we celebrate, church, the hands that went up?
Thanks so much for joining us on today's message. We hope it gives you life. Hey, and don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and text 77977 to download our app and stay tuned with all of our updates.